Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Today's episode is brought to you in part by the financial support of our listeners, and I want to go ahead and thank Brian for sending a one-time donation with the Zelle app. Thank you so much for your support, Brian. You can also send one-time donations at support.greatdetectives.net by mail to Adam Graham, P.O. Box 15913, Boise, Idaho 83715. Or you can also become one of our ongoing Patreon supporters for as little as $2 per month at patreon.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for today's episode of Rocky Jordan. The original air date is May the 14th of 1950, and the title is Congo Copper.
On CBS, you've heard Jack Benny, Amos and Andy, Bergen and McCarthy. Still waiting with a variety of entertainment are Rocky Jordan, Horace Hite, Our Miss Brooks, The Whistler, and Red Skelton. Now, Del Monte Foods brings you a world of adventure with Rocky Jordan.
I got to thinking how trouble always finds its way to my tambourine, whether it walks in on nylons or soft oriental slippers or the dusty feet of a beggar. This time the guy who brought it was as innocent as a day-old camel. He was the mailman. He didn't know when he handed me the mail he was giving me murder, sealed in a white envelope.
Del Monte, the brand you trust for flavor in so many good foods. Yes, Del Monte, the best-liked brand of canned fruits and vegetables in the whole wide world, takes you now to the Café Tambourine in Cairo, gateway to the ancient East, where modern adventure and intrigue unfold against a backdrop of antiquity. Tonight's Rocky Jordan story, Congo Copper.
It started off with the usual morning mail delivery to the tambourine. A bill for a consignment of Lebanon olives, an ad for a new brand of goat's milk. Then I picked up a letter postmarked Cape Town. It was from Stanley Boucher, a mining engineer I'd known back in San Francisco. The short note inside was to tell me that a man named Daniel Stanton was to arrive in Cairo at 10:30 that same morning, and that he could do me a lot of good. Boucher said he'd advise Stanton that I'd meet him at the airport. Well, it was already 10, and the Cairo airport's a good drive north and across the Nile, but I made it as soon as I could. As I parked, I saw a big plane of an African line taxiing away from the gate. The men had already landed and unloaded. I went inside and over to the information desk.
May I help you, sir?
Yes, I was to meet a Daniel Stanton here. His plane just arrived.
You are Mr. Rocky Jordan?
Yeah, that's right.
Mr. Stanton left word that he would be waiting in the cocktail lounge.
Oh, thanks.
Hey, Rocky! Over here!
He got up from where he was seated in a side booth with a real blonde doll who did plenty to decorate the place and came over to meet me. But the man was the surprise. Not anybody named Daniel Stanton, but my engineer friend who'd written the letter from Cape Town, Stanley Boucher.
Rocky! Rocky, boy, you son of a gun. I was beginning to wonder if you got my letter.
It just came, Stan, but I didn't expect to see you here.
Oh, come on, I want you to meet the wife. Frieda, my old friend Rocky Jordan.
Hello, Frieda.
Well, so this is Rocky Jordan.
By golly, you haven't changed a bit, Rocky. I'm sure glad to see you.
And so am I.
Now, when do I meet Daniel Stanton?
Oh, that. Forget it.
Or is that your name now? Why the switch?
I'm still Stan Boucher to you, Rocky boy. And we've sure got things to talk about. Come on, let's go to my hotel. I'll tell you all about it and just how you fit. Just throw your hat on the bed, Rocky, if you're not superstitious.
Sure. Make yourself at home, Rocky. I'll be unpacking while you two have your little talk.
All right. Well, let's hear it, Stan.
Rocky, well, things have happened to me since I saw you last.
Yeah, I've been noticing.
No, not just the wife. It's copper. I did it, boy. In the Belgian Congo near Congola, a copper strike, and a good one. Every bit mine.
That's what you always wanted. But how do I fit with copper?
I want you to go down and work the mine for me. I'll cut you in for a third. Now, that's fair, isn't it?
Wait a minute. Read me the small print, Stan. The rest of the deal.
I brought all the specifications. They'll show you the mine's worth plenty. Check on it any way you like. Don't you believe me?
Just why do you want me? You could work it yourself.
Well, the fact is, I can't go back there.
Why not?
You see, Rocky, I killed a man. A man named Emil Van Brugge.
I'm out, Stan. Get somebody else.
Oh, no, wait, Rocky. It was an accident, of course. Everything's in the open. Police didn't hold me. I just can't go back, that's all.
Well, I bet you can't.
Van Brugge was a great favorite with the natives down there. They don't understand. If I went back, I might be killed.
What makes you think they'd change their minds if I showed up?
Well, you won't get hurt. It's me they're after. Now, how about it?
Why are you using a different name now?
Let it go, Rocky. That's not important. Here's your chance to make a fortune. You can't pass that up, can you?
Well, I'll think it over.
Hey, now, that's more like it. And don't think I'm rushing you, Rocky.
No. I'll let you know, Stan.
Oh, going so soon, Rocky. We've hardly had a chance to get acquainted.
Sorry, Frida. I'm needed at the tambourine.
Well, then at least I can walk with you to the elevator. Do you mind, Stan?
No, not at all, Frida. See you later, Rocky.
So long, Stan.
Well, do you think you'll take Stan's offer?
I'm not sure, Frida.
It's a good chance for you. I think Stan picked a good man for the job. A woman's intuition, shall we say.
Oh, thanks. How long have you known Stan?
About a year. We met in South Africa. We've only been married a short time.
He's a good engineer.
And a very busy engineer. A lot I'll get to see of Cairo with all he has to do.
There's plenty to see in this town.
Oh? Perhaps some night when he's busy... Or was that an invitation?
Maybe. I'll talk to Stan about it.
Do that. Goodbye, Rocky.
I rode the elevator down to the main floor and stepped out through the lobby. The way to the door took me past the desk, and a voice I heard there stopped me.
Mr. Daniel Stanton.
One moment, Effendi. I will see.
Standing at the desk was a big red-faced guy, and with him somebody I took to be his servant. European dress, but the dark, powerful type that comes from Central Africa.
Yes, here we are. Mr. Stanton and his wife arrived a short while ago, room 415.
Here's my card. Tell Stanton I'm on my way up. Come along, Jethro.
Clerk.
Yes, Effendi.
The red-faced man was just here at the desk. Could you tell me his name?
Why, sir, that information, that I...
He looks like a friend of mine, but I'm not sure.
Oh, I understand, sir. His name is Van Brugge.
Van Brugge. The name of the man Stan had said he'd killed in the Congo. I passed up the elevator this time and took the stairs up to the fourth floor. There I walked down the hall to Stan's room. On guard at the door was the powerful fellow Van Brugge had called Jethro. I'm going in, Jethro.
Wait, sir. It is best that you do not enter.
Let me decide that.
You must keep back from the door.
No, Van Brugge, stop it.
Get out of my way.
Sir, I cannot permit you.
All right, cut it, Van Brugge.
Get out. Get out before I use the gun on you.
Rocky, don't hit me with that gun again.
Get out, I said. This is not your business. It is just mine and Stanley Boucher's.
You asked for a different name downstairs.
Yes, but I know his real name as well I should.
You came a long way to find him, Van Brugge.
Hans Van Brugge, sir. The brother of the Emil Van Brugge. This man accidentally killed.
Rocky, it's the truth. It was an accident.
Shut up, Boucher. Well, you've had enough for now. We shall await further privacy at some other time. But let me give you some advice, my friend.
Yeah?
Be very careful about any deals you might have in mind with this Stanley Boucher. It could lead you to no good end.
Thanks, Rocky. Thanks.
You better tell me what this is all about now, Stan. I figure it has something to do with Van Brugge and the copper mine.
Nothing to do with our deal, Rocky.
Come on, Stan. Let's have it.
It's just something between me and him, like he says, private.
Where's Frieda?
Downstairs in the lounge. I sent her there.
Okay, we'll see what she says.
Why, Rocky! I didn't hope to see you again so soon. Sit down.
I think I will.
Oh, why so serious?
Frieda, did you know Hans van Brugge was on his way up to see Stan?
I knew it.
Did you know what would happen when he got there?
That wouldn't be hard to guess. It's one of those things. After all, Stan killed a man, didn't he? Accidentally, of course.
You don't think much of him, do you, Frieda?
Stan's been around enough to take care of himself. Why should I worry?
He still won't tell me what it's all about.
Then why bother about it? Anyway, I'd much rather talk about something else.
What?
Oh, the copper mine. You've decided to take Stan's offer?
No, not yet.
I think you will. Oh, you haven't ordered anything?
Some other time, Frieda.
The night you're going to show me Cairo? Make it soon, Rocky. I'm beginning to like it here. Very much.
I bowed out and got to my car. I did a lot of thinking as I drove across Cairo. Sure, the idea of a share in a rich copper mine had me interested, but I wasn't sure what came with it. But if Stan and the blonde doll he had for a wife wouldn't tell me, I'd have to get it someplace else. That took me to police headquarters for a talk with Captain Sam Sabaya.
Well, come in, Jordan. What can I do for you?
I'd like for you to find out something for me, Sam.
If I can.
Contact the police in Congolo, in the Belgian Congo.
And for what purpose, Jordan?
Get the real story about what went on between Stanley Boucher and a man named Van Brugge.
As a matter of fact, I have already done so.
You've got a report, Sam? How come?
Jordan, whenever persons come into Cairo under obviously assumed names, it is my task to know about them.
What do they say about the killing?
Accidental. Also the records, eh?
Could Stan actually own a copper mine in the Congo?
He does. Did that surprise you so much?
A little. But there's no proof about the killing.
No. Yet the feeling exists that it was anything but accidental.
Somebody in Cairo agrees. Van Brugge's brother.
And I will tell you that this man who calls himself Hans van Brugge is lying. The Van Brugge who is dead had no brother.
And who is he?
His identity is being traced. But now, Jordan...
Oh, I can't tell you anything, Sam. Stan's just an old friend, that's all.
Indeed. These men, both under assumed names, have been in Cairo less than 4 hours, and I find you already involved.
It's not like that, Sam. I just wanted to know.
You know now that it is not a vendetta for murder such as you've been led to think, but something quite different. That much should warn you, Jordan, to extricate yourself from this affair at once, before it is too late.
Del Monte Foods is presenting tonight's adventure with Rocky Jordan. What's the difference between a plain everyday dinner and a special dinner? Lots of women say it's as simple as serving Del Monte fruit cocktail to start things off. There's nothing quite like its sparkling color and luscious flavor to begin a meal in style.
I'll be the first to agree with that, Larry. But don't stop there. Remember, Del Monte fruit cocktail makes marvelous salads and desserts, too.
Right you are. And once you find out how many ways Del Monte fruit cocktail can help you, you'll want to keep it handy all the time. It's so quick and easy. Mellow peaches and fragrant pears are already cut and mixed with sunny pineapple tidbits, juicy grapes, and scarlet cherry halves. Now, just think of all the menu problems that kind of color and flavor can solve.
It's hard to realize that such a time saver could look so pretty and taste so good. But Del Monte fruit cocktail certainly does.
Yes, the busier you are, the more you'll appreciate what Del Monte quality and flavor mean in fruit cocktail. So why not try Del Monte fruit cocktail tomorrow? And now we take you back to Cairo and tonight's Rocky Jordan story, Congo Copper.
So Stanley Boucher actually did own a copper mine in the Congo. I hadn't been sure. I left Sam mulling the rest of the surprise he'd given me. I hadn't gone two blocks before I saw I was being tailed by the African native, Jethro, who'd gone with the phony Van Broob to Stan's room. That suited me because I wanted to talk with him. I watched for an alley, ducked in, and waited. I didn't hear, Jethro.
Oh, Mr. Jordan, I meant you no harm.
Oh, sure you didn't. Now, where's Van Broob? I don't care what his real name is. Where is he?
I only followed to tell you that Van Broob must not concern you, Mr. Jordan.
Well, we'll see what your pockets say.
Oh, you'll find nothing there.
Not much, anyway. Well, fresh pack of matches from the Hotel Blue Nile.
Give them to me.
Is that where I'll find him?
Mr. Jordan, I repeat that you are to leave him entirely alone, even if I must stop
Don't
you.
Try it, Jethro. Not that way. Jethro hung on and made it rough for a while. He didn't know all the tricks. One swing to the button did it again. After that, I bundled him up and took him to the tambourine. I got the gun I kept under the front counter, gave it to Chris, my bartender, and told him to hold Jethro in the office till I said to let him go. Then I made it over to the Hotel Blue Nile and found Hans von Brugge's room.
Well, so it is Mr. Jordan again.
Yeah, that much is right. Now just who are you?
That was fully explained.
Cut it, von Brugge. I know you're not Emil's brother. It happens he didn't have one.
Well, I suppose you would have learned that sooner or later.
Now the rest, Van Brugge. What's your pitch with Stan?
Is that not yet clear to you?
Let's have it. What are you after?
I am after the same thing you are, my friend. The copper mine, or a part of it. Only I have a way to get it. You see, I know that Emil was not killed accidentally.
Yeah, that's all it takes for blackmail.
Indeed it is. And I shall keep reminding Stanley Boucher of that fact until he sees fit to do what I say. Or until he kills me. Which he will not do.
Don't be too sure of that, Van Dorn.
Boucher. Boucher, put that gun away.
Not till I'm through with it. Move away from him, Rocky.
You can't do it, Stan. It's a sucker's move.
Get out, Rocky. Get out and get back to your tambourine. Van Brugge and I'll finish this ourselves.
Won't work, I tell you. Give me the gun, Stan.
No, Rocky. It's the only way out. Van Brugge told you.
You're much giving to me. I made a grab for the gun, but Stan swung away. I kept moving to keep his aim from Van Brugge, and just as I grappled with him, the gun came down flat on my head. Right there, I dropped. As the blackness came pressing in, I heard shots, like far off. After that, nothing. Came out of it slowly. When the room stopped whirling and settled down, I saw the figure slumped against the far wall. Only not that of Van Brugge. It was Stan Boucher, and Van Brugge was gone. Well, there was a lot of activity after that, and it all led to headquarters. Sam had Frida brought in and grilled us for a while, but there didn't seem much more to tell.
Well, Mrs. Boucher, at least we need not be concerned now regarding your husband's former guilt.
You're very kind, Captain Sabaya.
Hans Van Brugge will be found, rest assured of that.
You're satisfied that Van Brugge did it then, Sam?
Is that not your feeling, Jordan? While Stanley Boucher was getting you out of the way, Van Brugge had but to draw a gun and shoot him.
How else could it be, thanks to my help?
Your intent was only to help him. I'm sure that Mrs. Boucher feels the same.
Oh, of course, Rocky. May we go now, Captain?
As you wish. Goodbye, Mrs. Boucher.
Goodbye. Coming, Rocky?
See you later, Sam.
Well, Rocky, that's that.
You're not too busy drying tears, Frida.
He was a good guy.
You knew the truth about him, didn't you?
That part? It's over. Just as Sabaya said. And Van Brugge is out of luck. The copper mine belongs to me now.
But Van Brugge's still around.
Do you think Sabaya will find him?
Sure, if anybody can.
Maybe I do need a good bodyguard while I'm seeing Cairo. I still want to. You don't have to ask Stan now, Rocky.
No, I don't. Let it rest for a while, Frida.
You know, Stan's offer still holds about your working the mine. We can handle it all ourselves. Shall we talk about it?
Let me call you, huh? Right now, I got some thinking to do. I put Frida in a taxi and drove back to the tambourine. But the thinking I did along the way didn't get anywhere. There was something about the whole thing I didn't like. When I reached the tambourine, Chris was still holding Jethro. Ah, sorry it took so long, Chris.
Yeah, no trouble at all, Rock. Jethro's been good company.
I'll take the gun now.
I presume, Mr. Jordan, that you've seen Van Brugge as you intended.
Yeah, that's right. I've got news for you. Van Brugge's picked up something since you saw him last. A murder rap.
Where's he now?
I don't know. But you're going to the police. Out the back door, Jethro. It's unlocked.
Very well.
Rocky, stay with him.
Now, Jethro won't try anything.
Rocky, I told you, he's getting away.
What else, Chris? It's just what I wanted. I gave Jethro a gentleman's lead and then followed after him. It figured he and Van Brugge had a rendezvous with all that was going on. Maybe Jethro's quarters. And I saw I was right as he went past the closed-up Mooski Bazaar and into a court up the hill that held some well-kept cottages. He went in at one of the doors where there was a light already on inside with the curtains drawn. I took one breath and followed, keeping the gun handy. Company day, Van Brugge?
Jordan. Did you know he was following Jethro?
I did not. So it was a trick.
Why, you bungling
fool!
Come on,
Van Brugge. You can both talk about it on the way to headquarters.
Wait, Jordan. I know why you're doing this. It is because you think I killed Stanley Boucher.
How'd you guess?
You're wrong, Jordan. I did not kill him.
Then who did?
The same one who killed Emil Van Brugge in the Belgian Congo.
Ah, straighten your story, Van Brugge. You told me Stan did that one.
But now I am telling you the truth. It was not Stan and not I, but the girl, Frida.
Sure. Who else is there left to plant it on?
Stanley Boucher knew about it from the beginning. And he's been covering for her ever since. She's no good, Jordan.
You knew her before?
How well I knew her. But Boucher did not. He picked her up in Johannesburg, knowing nothing of what she was like. It's incredible what a man will do for such a woman.
I take it you had quite a feeling for Frida yourself.
I did. It was a vicious triangle between Emil, Stanley, and myself over the girl, with a copper mine right in the middle, the mine which was partly Emil's.
You're telling me Frida was after the mine, but can you prove it?
There is no proof. There's no justice in the case at all.
Did Stanley know Frida killed Van Brugge?
Stanley knew everything. Took the blame to protect her. Now she's killed her husband, too. And with me accused, she's free of everyone. She ends up with the mine. And you, Jordan. She wants you now. Is that not so?
Back up your story, Van Brugge, or we'll let the police decide.
And you know what they will say? All right. Take me in, Jordan. Take me in. And you will be playing right into Frida's hands.
In just a moment, Rocky Jordan returns to conclude tonight's story. I suppose every woman finds it pretty hard to coax a sleepy family to eat a good breakfast. But it isn't half so hard if you tempt them with tall, frosty glasses of Del Monte pineapple juice. It's the sunniest, most refreshing juice that ever got a breakfast started right.
And another thing, too. The tart, sweet Del Monte pineapple flavor goes so nicely with everything. From toast and jam to ham and eggs.
Yes, the delightful balance of tartness and sweetness you find in Del Monte pineapple juice is yours to enjoy in the four other styles of Del Monte pineapple. Del Monte raises its own exclusive strains of pineapple, picks them ripe and rich in superb flavor. That means special enjoyment for you in Del Monte pineapple juice and in sliced, crushed chunks and tidbits, too.
Well, judging from the amount of Del Monte pineapple juice my family drinks, it's especially good and refreshing.
Del Monte pineapple juice is good for the whole family, too. Buy several cans today. Refresh yourself often. Back now to Rocky Jordan for the conclusion of tonight's story.
Well, now Van Brugge had given me a new story, that Frida had done the killings of both Emil and her husband. If it was true, Van Brugge had a big point, that by turning him into the police, I'd be playing right into her hands. He and Jethro watched as I tried to decide.
Think carefully, Jordan. Frida would like nothing better than to see you get me out of the way. But perhaps you would like that, too.
Not for what you think, Van Brugge.
Mr. Jordan, You must understand my part in this.
Shut up, Jethro. He's not a stupid man. I think he knows that I'm telling the truth. Well, Jordan, I'm not sure.
Frida!
I think it's time I helped you to decide, Rocky.
How did you get here?
You followed Jethro. Couldn't I follow you?
If you wanted to, real bad.
Toss your gun over here on the floor. Mine's enough. Yours too, huh? Don't tell me you don't have one.
You afraid of mine, Frida?
No. I'm just making sure that Hans Van Brugh goes to the police.
You see, Jordan, it is just as I told you.
Or supposing he tries to escape and I have to kill him.
Frida, you would not dare.
And why not? You did shoot my husband. I won't have any trouble.
Frida.
Yes, Rocky.
Exactly who did kill Emil and your husband?
Well, Hans has been saying things, hasn't he?
Tell me, Frida, was it you?
That's something you'll never have to worry about. A third of the mine is yours if you want it.
After all I know? I couldn't settle for less than half.
You don't know anything, Rocky.
Well, don't I? Never think of it. A half's not enough. I might even take the whole mine.
A half or nothing. Make up your mind.
And it's all off. I'll have to tell Sabaya you killed your husband.
Tell him. What do I care? There's no proof.
What about ballistics? A check of that gun you're holding.
Stan wasn't killed with his gun. Let them find out.
Well, there's some bullets in the wall. It shows the shots were fired from the door.
What about it? Van Brugh could have been standing there. Keep trying, Rocky.
All right. I was there. I saw you kill him.
What? No. Stan hit you. You were knocked out.
Was I? You can't be sure, Frida.
If you saw it, then why didn't you tell the police?
Well, I can queer my deal with you. Anyhow, it's off. I can tell Sam now. Use your phone, Jethro.
Mr. Jordan, I only advise you that she uses the gun well.
Do I get the mine, Frida, or finish this call?
Finish it! Why should they believe you?
Police headquarters, Sabaya speaking.
Oh, Sam, is Rocky.
Yes, Jordan.
I'm in a court at 1117 Sharia Samson. I've got Stan's killer here. And here's the name.
Rocky!
Mr. Jordan!
Doctor, it was Jethro who caught the bullet on his shoulder as he moved in. His other hand shot your gun to the floor, and I'm the one who came up with it. I caught up with Van Brugh halfway out the door, and when he felt the gun in his back, he stopped in his tracks. Sam had already hung up his end of the phone, and it didn't take another call to get him there. After Frieda and Van Brugh had been put away, Sam and I went to the hospital where Jethro wasn't much the worse for his shoulder wound.
Captain, I've been wrong. I'm willing to pay for that mistake.
Jethro, you were Van Brugh's servant?
Yes, but more. He had promised that together we would avenge the killing of Emil Van Brugh, a friend of my people.
But he did not tell you that it was Frieda and not her husband who was the killer.
He led me to believe that it was Stanley Boucher. But I unknowingly shared in his effort to blackmail.
Jethro, I make no promises, but after your risk in protecting Jordan's life...
You've got no worries, Jethro. You'll get off somehow.
You're both most kind.
Jordan, come now. We must leave him. Well, Jethro is perhaps more fortunate than he knows, Jordan.
In what way, Sam?
With all the owners of the mine eliminated, it will possibly revert to the natives of the community.
It's good enough for me.
Jordan, I am most sorry that things did not turn out so well between you and the glamorous Frieda. But perhaps someday another girl will come along.
Stop thinking about it, Sam. I've had enough trouble.
For superb flavor, for dependable quality always, enjoy Del Monte fruits and vegetables. Remember, buy wisely. Buy for flavor. Buy Del Monte, the brand you trust for flavor in so many good foods. Rocky Jordan, written by Gomer Cool and Larry Roman, stars Jack Moyles in the title role with Jay Novello as Sam Sabaya, and is produced and directed by Cliff Howell, with original music composed and conducted by Richard Arundt. Remember, you have a date next week at the Cafe Tambourine, run by Rocky Jordan. Same time, same station. And the story is The Beggar of Farrar. What's easy for dessert and thrifty, too? Del Monte peaches, the best liked peaches in the whole wide world. Try those tender golden halves in their own heavy, rich syrup. There's mellow, tree-ripe flavor if you ever tasted it. Get Del Monte peaches tomorrow. Larry Thor speaking. Rocky Jordan is presented over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Welcome back. Well, it was good that Sabaya was on top of this case before Rocky even let him know. The one thing I didn't like is the murderer. I really guessed it was the wife pretty early in the program. I don't know whether it was that the writing made it too obvious or if the actress playing the wife just really overplayed the whole femme fatale thing. I think that really it's something where programs during this era really needed to be careful, because it's possible to really massively overplay a femme fatale angle. I mean, I think that type of character, there ought to be something that makes the male characters, you know, feel like that they need protection, etc. I think that just going for, you know, outright sociopathic is going to, you know, really limit seeing it as a real possibility that our hero's actually going to fall for. You know, but this was, it was a little bit annoying because as we're going through, you know, even when we get towards the end, Rocky's like, I don't know. And I'm like, I do. Yes, she did it. She is your villain. But at any rate, other than that, I thought it was an enjoyable episode. Listener comments and feedback now. Bill writes in, Hi, Adam. First off, condolences on the loss of your cat. As a cat dad who's gone through that, I know how hard that is. Congratulations on adding a new furry friend to your family. Well, thank you very much. Second, a good episode, but I pegged the ex-fiancé as the baddie right off. Once again, a great performance from Bill Conrad as the American agent. I wonder if the name of the Zell app came about because someone was familiar with Lake Zell. I don't know about that one. And he says, finally, you were wrong about Sergeant Greco not fitting a stereotype. He's the stereotypical, ambitious, bumbling cop who thinks he's better than he really is. Yeah, I guess I would say fair enough on that. And I will clarify that I don't think Sergeant Greco is any sort of ethnic stereotype, but other sorts of stereotypes, sure. All right, I want to go ahead and thank our Patreon of the day. Thank you so much to Joseph. Joseph has been one of our Patreon supporters since November, currently supporting us at the Shamus level of $4 or more per month. Thanks so much for your support, Joseph. And that will actually be all for now. Join us back here tomorrow for Boston Blackie. Next Wednesday, another episode of Rocky Jordan. In the meantime, send your comments to box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.